Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
History Dweebs. I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. Today we're going to talk about Great Britain's first serial killer. She was a pioneer, Brandy.
Yep. Leave it to Mary a woman to Ann be the first.
Cotton. Huh?
Leave it to a woman to be the first.
Well, she was the first and she killed a bunch of people. Before we talk about her dastardly deeds, let me remind everyone that we are a comedy podcast. We use adult language, and if adult language offends you, then you should...
Just get the fuck out of here. How's that, Timmy?
Exactly. I can't believe we... When I started writing this, I thought we had already covered this lady, but... I went back and looked, and we didn't. But, you know, we did a lot of episodes. I mean, like over 300. I don't know how many they are, but we're in like, been doing this for 8 years, Brandy. And you have not aged more than 20.
Well, that's what I feel like. Thank you very much.
So let me introduce our panel. I am pleased to announce a woman who is known for her grace. Grace and charms.
It's true.
She has been
so graceful.
She's known throughout the land, in every hamlet and village, as Brandy the Benevolent. Her Majesty, Queen Brandy the First. How are you, Brandy, if at all?
I'm all right, Timmy. I'm all right. Just kind of plugging through the week and...
I'm sensing you got like low energy, or are you just, you know, are just on the edibles? Is that what you're?
No, but I mean, I just woke up about, I don't know, an hour ago. So, I mean, I'm ready to roll.
I mean, it's noon, so I'm glad you could.
It's not quite noon, but okay. I don't care. Give me what you got, but I slept. So.
Yeah, and
now I'm here.
And I'd like to congratulate you, Devil. I know that when you go to your meeting today at 4 o'clock, they're going to give you your 12-hour clean and sober chip. So you just keep up to
well,
the work.
Anymore.
If she makes
not
it.
Not anymore.
Well, not anymore. Okay, well, maybe you can get your 4-hour one.
Yeah, every day's a new day, Brandy. You can
I
start
know.
Fresh every day.
Start fresh every day. I have been watching a... wonderful documentary about Korean cult leaders on the Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
So that is very good because you know I love a good cult.
I know you love a good Korean cult, especially because
well, I'll tell you what,
you were good friends with Reverend Moon, as I recall.
Yeah, something like that. But no, like this one Korean guy, this cult leader, ended up and basically he raped them, but like 5,000 women that he had.
Jesus.
Yeah. So, I mean, this guy, I mean, they're all trash, obviously, but there was one that was a woman. And she was actually the worst one because she would just order people to be beaten to death. Or like she had a 5-year-old kid was 5 and she decided that he was the devil. So she
could have been.
They put him, well, so they put him in a pig pen, tied him up and didn't feed him, and then beat him to death and fed him shit. Fed him literal pig shit. Yeah, like it's really, really super bad. So, I mean, it's been, but, you know, again, I love a good cult. So I've been, you know, really watching all of the cool Netflix shit. Luther.
What's the name of that? I'm going to have to watch that, Devil. What's the name of that series you're watching?
Oh, it's like In the Name of God or something. I don't know. Look for it on the Netflix.
Well, there's a lot of Netflix. It ain't like there's just 6 things on Netflix now.
It's like, I know, but it just came out, and I think it's like In the Name of God or something. Hold on, I'll look at it. But it's really, really good, but it's all in Korean.
Oh,
so well, if you watch Korean, it, so. You get to feel fancy.
Well, no, I speak
no, you have to read.
Of course you
have to read.
Do.
You have to know how to read.
You do have to know how to read. That is the clutch part of it. But let's see. French
documentaries. Randy, when are we going to get another movie review by you on the Facebook?
So, you know what? Soon enough, because we've already picked a movie that you are not going to believe it. It is perfect.
You know, you should do that on the TikTok.
You know, I don't want the Chinese spying on me on the TikTok. So,
well, do you think the Chinese is really concerned about your movie? Is that going to give them some national secrets?
I think so. I think they really are. They'll watch. They know. Damn it.
You know, here's my question. We're so worried about the Chinese and the TikTok, and are the Chinese really more nefarious than, say, the Netherlands?
I don't know, because they're pretty nefarious.
I don't trust those Nordic people. They were Vikings. They came in.
Are they Nordic? I don't think Netherlands is Nordic.
Yeah,
they're
close enough.
They're close. I guess
they're pretty damn close.
Yeah, you're talking about like Norwegians,
Swedes,
Finns. I'm not too. I don't trust the Finns.
All right, Chuck. It's called In the Name of God.
In the Name of God. Okay.
Wasn't that a U2 song?
I don't know.
Oh, that was In the Name of Love, I guess.
And there's another one. I watched another French thing. And actually, Tim, this would be, I watched a French documentary about like the most prolific serial killer in France. He had this woman that was along with him that would help him. And for the longest time, they thought that she was like one of his victims. Well, it turns out that she wasn't.
I bet she was the brain.
She was with him voluntarily, and she really was.
She might have been the mastermind. Because behind every serial killer is a good one.
There really is.
She was the one that would pick him up because, of course, her along with their child would go and pick these girls up because, you know, nobody's going to hurt them if a woman and a child are in the car.
Right, right.
So that was really interesting. So I have been occupying my time by expanding my knowledge of different things.
So you're sitting in front of the TV, eating bonbons, eating edibles, and watching Netflix. That's kind of what my takeaway of.
That's fine if that's your takeaway.
Now, this In the Name of God thing, are the subtitles Korean too?
No, actually, you can turn on, it would be stupid to be subtitled in Korean when they're speaking Korean. So,
well, I mean, you get subtitles in English when you're
well, sure,
the movie,
but
in English.
You would not want to, being Chuck, you would not want to put the subtitles on Korean because then it doesn't do any fucking good.
I can read Korean.
Because he can't speak
it.
So you can,
you know
what?
It'd be cool if you watch a movie in Korea and use Arabic as your
subtitle,
you know, subtitles.
No, it wouldn't be, but this one, it wouldn't be interesting. But you can. I watched it dubbed and subtitled.
Do you know, I had to. I changed my Netflix password because somebody kept changing my settings. You know, there's 38 people that know my Netflix password.
Yeah, same
with the children.
Too.
Just.
And okay. Then I would go on and my profile would be Dad is a Dick. Everything I watched would have Arabic subtitles on it. In Arabic language, they dub it into Arabic. And I'd have to go, every show, I'd have to go back and change it. So then I finally changed the password and said, you know what? None of you son bitches, I'm going to give you the password one at a time, and everybody gets a week probation. And if you everything's good, then I will give the next person the password. And I had to instill discipline in my brood that way.
I understand that. We've had a lot of brandy time.
A lot of brandy time, Timmy. We've already lost a bunch.
Yeah, but look at all the helpful information I gave.
It's really out of control. Brandy time is really out of control.
Look at all the helpful information I gave.
You know, like I need to put like a stopwatch or something or alarm clock, and you know, after like 30 seconds of brandy time, then cut it off.
Yeah,
because people, you know, if you read our reviews, they all complain about brandy time.
Oh, they.
I don't know that they do,
and it's. You know, I mean, we try to be polite. We try to create a warm environment.
Which reminds me, I want to give a shout out to Anna Kaufman, who is our newest Patreon supporter. If you would like,
yay, Anna!
Thank you, Anna. If you would like to support the program on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs, all one word. Where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or Colonel.
Or just the tip, Timmy. Just a wee little bit.
Okay, so move on to Chuck's bullshit so we can get to the story.
Okay, let me introduce a man who is a man of God.
This is what we need, Timmy.
Not like...
Devil time over, devil time over.
It's exactly what we need.
Perfect.
A man who is a true man of God, not like, you know, the... fake prophets there in Korea, but a true man of God.
Ugh.
He is a best-selling author with his book. What is the title of it, Colonel?
How to Make Love to a Woman, Timmy.
Brandy, you think women gets chills when he says the title of that book?
Shit chills.
Hold on. Just be real quiet for a minute. You can hear the sound a penny dropping right now.
Nope. Nope.
A man who, you know, these are troubled times, Brandy, and people look toward, they want something meaningful in their life. They want answers. So he's been called an oasis in the desert of despair.
I know one.
The very honorable, the Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Walters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
Well, I'm doing fine, Timmy. I'm doing fine. I'm the devil was talking about cults, and you know, I'm trying to, after the book, I'm now working on getting my, it's not a cult, it's a spiritual fulfillment, really, to be your best self, Timmy. If you're a just semi-attractive woman and you want to be your best self and you want to just completely take all the advice that I give you, I'm going to do that for free, Timmy. For free, as a public service.
For free? Yes.
Well, I mean, not for free. You have to give me all your belongings. I mean, you have to give me all your possessions and belongings first. But after that, everything's free.
Duh. I mean, that's a small price.
It's a small tithe to me. A small tithe. So I...
that all sounds amazing.
And then I'm... well, you know, Timmy, and because people don't know this, people not need to know how to live, Timmy. And I'm going to give you some free advice because you are having...
You would be a shit cult leader.
You're having your lovely bride... come over, right? She's going to be coming over?
Yes, Leanne will be here this
and
week.
Now, you are used to sleeping alone, and I'm assuming, you know, that that's going to change, and you're going to have to share space, right? So you're not going to have as much space as you used to have, and you're going to have to get used to this. Timmy, do you know 450 people a year die from falling out of bed? More people than struck by lightning. You know, so I want you to be careful, well, Timmy.
How many of those are struck by lightning then fall out of bed?
Wait a minute. Is there like a one of those spear pits? If they fall out of bed, they just like go down into that pit with all the spears sticking up?
Oh, like how do you die? Indiana Jones?
Yeah.
There's all kinds of ways to die. And
You know, ever since I saw Indiana Jones, I've always been afraid of that big ball that was going to run over me.
Yeah.
Yes, that is a legit fear that you should have. A legit fear.
Well, I have anxiety issues.
I am all of, you know, you should be afraid that Marianne Cotton is going to attack you in your bed more than, you know, rolling out. And
you
dying.
Know, Leanne is British. So, I mean.
Well, and I want you to, that's right. I want you to know this, Timmy, throughout the world. Now you're going to get there and you're, you know, if I got married and Leanne was coming over, the first thing I'd do is say, you know what, let's have a nice dinner and celebrate, right? Let's celebrate this wondrous occasion that you're here and, you know, you're staying and, oh, let's open some champagne. Do you know, Timmy, every year, 25 people a year are killed by champagne corks.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Lucy is snoring. She's so bored with this conversation.
Timmy, get the kind with the cap on it.
For the country, Brandy.
Don't get the kind with the cork. Get the kind with the cap on it that you can unscrew.
Okay.
The fancy stuff.
I get the fancy stuff in the cartons, you know, the
Oh, in the box.
Yeah, get the box, Timmy.
The box,
that don't blow up.
No, it don't.
Yeah. So. I'm sure it's tasty.
So I just want you to stay safe while this happens, because it's going to be a big life change to me.
No shame.
That you're going to face.
I mean,
before.
Do you really? I mean, Colonel, I come to you for marital advice, and like many do you think it would be wrong for me to ask her, like, to sleep on the sofa? Would that be?
Well, Timmy, here's the thing. And this is, I want you to set the tone of your marriage right away. Remind her when she starts any kind of back talk to me, just say 1776. We beat you once, we'll do it again.
You think that intimidates her?
I think she.
Oh, I'm sure.
I think those Brits just need to be reminded of their place, Timmy.
Your Yankee Doodle outfit.
Yeah. Where your Uncle Sam?
You know, I could put that little man playing the fife. You know, put a wrap. Yeah, wrap my head and.
Definitely. And can we talk about Marianne Cotton?
Or I can play the little drums.
And this, Timmy.
I mean, you know, they were smart. They had the straps for the drums even back then. I mean, that was cutting edge.
Teach your cat to play the drums. Come on.
And every year, Timmy, I'm not going to get too deep into your personal life or whatever you do. You've read my book, so I know you're going to be safe. But every year in the United States, Timmy, 10 people. Mm-hmm. Every year, 10 people are crushed by their partner while making love, Timmy.
Now,
Leanne's just a petite thing. You don't have to worry about. But people start to add crazy things in there. You know, I don't know what they do, but 10 people are crushed.
Yeah, she's small, so I don't think you have to worry about her.
She's just a wee little thing. But,
oh, my God.
But I want you to be aware of these things, Timmy.
Well, thank you, Colonel. I appreciate your concern.
The thing that concerns
when have you ever offered me any advice?
Right. The champagne really worries me, Timmy. The champagne. Just ask her what her favorite wine is.
I'll ask for it in a box.
Yeah. Oh, definitely in a box.
All right. Let's talk about Marianne Cotton. First of all, is that a real name? I don't know.
Oh, okay. In your research, you didn't figure out if that was a real name.
Doesn't that sound like a name someone would make up?
Go ahead.
I mean, you're the one that researched this, so if you don't know,
it's her name, but it sounds like an alias.
Okay. All right.
Now, so today we're going to talk about Great Britain's first serial killer. That is not Jack the Ripper, Colonel.
I know. It's not Jack the Ripper. Jack the Ripper.
Do you have any theories?
Oh, I have a lot on Jack the Ripper. On Jack the Ripper, Timmy.
Can we talk about Marion Cotton, though?
We can.
Because this isn't about Jack the Ripper. Nobody gives a shit about Jack the Ripper right now because we're talking about Marion Cotton, who is in no way related to Jack the Ripper. I don't give a shit about his fucking shit. We're not talking about the guy. We are not talking about Jack the Ripper.
You make a very good point, Brandy. So what's your theory on Jack the Ripper?
My theory is Jack the Ripper was a mad midwife, Timmy.
A crazy midwife.
Because who else?
So you think Jack the Ripper was a woman?
Yeah.
What makes you think that?
Nothing. There was the midwives.
That's why this is a
anatomy,
stupid discussion.
They were always taking out like the uterus and the cervix and the ovaries and junk like that. And so really, Timmy, it was Jill the Ripper, not Jack the Ripper. It was Jill the Ripper.
Jill the Ripper.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense, Brandy.
She'd be able to wander around in the wee hours of the night, not cause too much suspicion, even if she was splattered with blood, Timmy.
And let's face it, men don't know where all those parts are.
No. We couldn't find a uterus. Most men couldn't find a uterus if you gave them a map, a GPS, and a really powerful flashlight, Timmy.
And a tour guide.
Yeah, and a tour guide. What we need is another woman to show us. Here, sit by me. Now, if you read my book, you know where all those parts are. But anyway, I believe it was a midwife, Timmy. I believe it was Jill the Ripper.
In addition to being a man of God and a best-selling author and colonel, he's also an amateur gynecologist, Brandy. I bet you didn't know that.
I bet I didn't care.
He could have went pro. He could have went pro.
I could have gone pro. But, you don't get to pick your patients, Timmy, when you're a gynecologist.
No, you don't. That's true.
Any vagina can walk through your door at any given time, Timmy. And,
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to be a gynecologist, you need to be a gynecologist in Beverly Hills or something.
I want to be Dr. Colonel, the selective gynecologist, Timmy. I want my patients screened and hygiene, Timmy. Screened and hygiene.
Okay. So we're going to talk about Mary Ann Cotton, who is believed to be responsible for at least a dozen deaths. That's 12, Brandy.
Yes. Like donuts. Well,
born in 1832 in Durham County, England. You ever been to Durham County?
Oh, I've been there. Bull Durham. Yeah.
I've been there.
Not the same.
That's where they filmed that movie. Mary Ann Robson was a quiet child. She mostly kept to herself, playing with her dolls and rejecting other children who sought her friendship.
Yeah, that pretty much tells
Sounds
it
like
all,
you,
Timmy.
Brandy, yeah, so far.
It does, because who needs that shit?
Mary did have a seemingly close relationship with her biological father. However, her father died in a mining accident when Mary Ann was just 8 years of age. That's tragic, don't you think, Brandy?
Yes.
Her father's death left Mary Ann and her brother and her mother impoverished. Mary's mother was forced to work as a laundry lady. I mean, that's not a bad gig. I mean, yeah, you have to,
Have you ever worked as a laundry lady?
Yeah, to
in
clean
the
1800s? You have to clean other people's underwear, I guess. But
now we've been watching what is the show? The Last Among Us. You know what I don't like about those
The Last of Us, yeah.
apocalyptic films? When do they change the draws? They've been walking around for 3 months with the same draws on.
My guess is
can you imagine
there are
like
no drawers.
In, 19th century.
Yeah. They just used perfume to cover it up.
They took a bath once a month.
Oh, hideous to me. Hideous.
Anyway, Mary Ann's mother worked as a laundry lady, washing other people's drawers, and she would rent Mary Ann and her brother out as day laborers just to make ends meet.
Did they live in Arkansas? What happened here? So we're just
poor. The dad died.
No, I know. I just, you know, you're renting out your 8-year-old for day labor. I mean, I get it. Little fingers, so good.
She's got little fingers.
They didn't even have iPhones back then, Timmy.
They did not have iPhones.
No. That'd have been crazy, living in a place where they didn't have iPhones. The family also sought charity from the church just to have enough to eat each day. So you get the picture here, Brandy. The family's kind of struggling.
Poor. Yeah.
When Mary was 12 years old, her mother remarried to a man she did not love just to provide the children with a little stability. So she didn't marry for love. She married for money, I guess, or at least have some, you know, keep them from starving to death. Now, Mary Ann did not
Renee
like
did the same thing.
Mary Ann did not like her stepfather. She drank a lot.
He drank
rarely
a lot.
Bathed. He drank
he
a lot.
Drank
and
a lot.
She might have drank a lot too. Yeah. We don't know.
She was British.
He drank a lot and rarely bathed.
Oh.
So, I mean, if he's barely bathing in 1840s, he's probably, you know, that may be like once every 6 months.
Sounds like a small subgroup of our listeners, Timmy. To be honest.
He's a drunk and he's nasty.
He had very bad breath, and when he drank...
If he didn't bathe, I imagine he didn't floss, Timmy.
Right. He wasn't big on his dental hygiene either.
He
would be fucked up if he flossed.
Insist, when he was drinking, he would insist Mary Ann sit on his lap while he tried to kiss her.
Ugh.
Well, that's...
Soon Mary Ann came to loathe him.
I would think so.
To escape her stepfather, Mary Ann ran away from home when she was just 15 years of age. At age 20, she would marry a man named William Mowbray in 1852. Mary Ann, when she was 20, would bear him 7 children in just 4 years.
Oh my God, get a different hobby.
I mean, that thing's a little factory. I mean,
it's a lot of fucking kids, man.
She's pushing them through.
The one right after the other. I mean, 7 kids in 4 years.
And I guess you have to have twins in there somewhere, don't you?
Well, I mean, it would literally have to be one right after the other after the other.
I think she ended up having like 12 kids or something crazy. In addition to caring for the children, Mary Ann worked as a dressmaker and a nurse to support her family. Now, she had to go out, make dresses, nurse people back to health, and you know they had all that bionic plague and all that shit. She had to come home and take care of her.
Did he say a bionic plague?
Bionic plague, which it was really a bionic plague. I mean, he's got it right.
That's pretty exactly.
Could be.
It's all those nanobots.
You don't know. Mary Ann, Mary Ann was a dressmaker. She was a nurse. And she had
and
to take care of all those
maker.
Damn kids.
And give
birth every 6 months. While William spent most of his time at the local pub, her husband, drinking up most of the money that Mary Ann brought into the household.
See, fuck that guy.
Well, apparently she did that a lot, Brandy, since she
clearly
had 12 kids. In 1856, the young family had experienced tragedy when 4 of their 5 children died of gastric fever. That's a coincidence. This is the first little red flag in this story, Brandy.
I would guess, yeah.
William Mowbray.
Ovary?
Then purchased a life insurance policy to cover himself and their 3 children. in the event that he would die. And guess what happens, Brandy? In the early 1860s, William Mowbray's worst fears came true when he and two of his children passed away from the same fever. Mary Ann collected the insurance money, left her surviving a child with her mother, and married a man named George Ward. Less than a year later, George Ward would be dead. I wonder if he was in relation to the Montgomery Ward.
So she's a black widow.
I guess we'll never know, will we, Brandy?
No, we won't, but she's a black widow.
So George dies, and Mary Ann received another insurance payout. But Mary Ann, she didn't remain a widow for long. In 1867, she married for the third time. This man's name was James Robinson. He was a widower with a widower with a family of small children, and he had advertised for a housekeeper, but instead he got Mary Ann Cotton, and they got married.
Well, what?
No, I'm sorry. They didn't.
Yeah, keep okay. Read that next sentence.
Yeah, she went to work for him, and then she married him. Okay, so after she started living with him, Robinson's 10-month-old son died from convulsions. I wonder if his son died, if his wife died giving birth to that son. But regardless, the 10-month-old son died as soon after Mary Ann moved into the household. The death certificate cited gastric fever as the cause of death. Unsurprisingly, at this point, Brandy, more deaths would follow.
Surprise.
Two more of Robinson's children, Mary Ann's remaining child by her first husband and Mary's mother, all died. So two of his children, her remaining child by her first husband, and her mother all died within early months of 1867. So they're dropping left and right, Brandy.
I guess.
So then it's after these deaths that Robinson marries Mary Ann. So
why?
That's her consolation prize for losing all these people. He marries her. The couple had two more children, one of whom died before reaching its first birthday. The Robinson marriage was not a happy one, Brandy.
I'm shocked.
Mary Ann got the family into debt, sparking rows with her husband or arguments. At some point, it seemed like she suggested her husband take out a life insurance policy. Perhaps already suspicious, James Robinson refused. What do you think about that, Charles?
Well, I think, as Bob Dylan would say, just like a woman.
He's not letting her take out an insurance policy. So it was if Mary Ann finally found a rewarding vocation as a black widow. James Robinson became suspicious of Mary Ann's behavior and refused to sleep alone with her. What do you think about that, Charles? I mean, that's kind of what you're telling me with Leanne, that I should be careful sleeping alone with her, right?
Well, until you find out for sure that she's still not a loyalist, Timmy, I would sleep with one eye open. It's not the way to get the most restful sleep, but, you know.
Who does he pull into bed with him? Like just some random stranger?
Maybe the kid. I don't know.
I mean, you know.
Well, I mean, you know, some people are into that, Brandy.
I guess.
They have little pineapples on their doors or house.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
He would feed anything. You know, the hot wives wear the little ankle bracelets.
They do.
I don't know if you knew that, Brandy. Yeah,
I did but not.
Ever see a woman wear an ankle bracelet? That means she's a hot wife.
Oh, okay. I'll remember that.
So the Robinson marriage wasn't a happy one, as I mentioned. He refused to sleep alone with her. He would feed anything that Mary Ann cooked to the family dog.
And then wait 6 hours. He ate a lot of cold food.
It was a test, I guess, to make sure it wasn't poison. But once when Mary prepared a meat pie for her husband, he did the same thing. He gave it to the dog. The dog started vomiting, and within moments, he was dead. So it paid off his little...
That makes Thanksgiving Iowa to me.
It does.
What I love is he's like, right after that, he's like, nope, and he bounces out. He gets his shit and leaves.
Yep, James Robinson then packed his carpet bag and moved out of the home that evening, never to return. Can't really blame him.
Well,
man,
I mean, if you can't trust a good meat pie to me, you know.
Right. I mean, who doesn't love a
meat pie? I do not trust your meat pie.
Isn't that what the guy in, isn't that what they did with the bodies in Sweeney Todd? Wasn't that what they did? Woman made meat pies out of the people he killed. Anyway, in 1870, Mary Ann became friends with a woman named Margaret Cotton. Now, Margaret mentioned that her brother, Frederick Cotton, was a widower. His wife, having recently died of, what did he die of, Brandy?
The consumption.
Got to watch out for that consumption, don't you?
Yeah, you know what else you have to look out for, Timmy?
What's clowns. That? How many people die of clowns?
Well, I'm just going to tell you, in 1854, little William Snyder, Little Billy, they called him, a clown came to his little party Billy. And was entertaining and picked him up by the ankles and swung him and accidentally hit his head against Poe and killed him.
Oh,
you can't trust a clown. You
can't trust a clown.
Well, you know, you got to be careful around clowns because they got the big feet.
They do.
That's true.
Big shoe.
They do.
They can step on your foot and break it. They're big shoe.
You know, and this, and here's another, Tim. If you get, you know, things get bad or whatever, don't do like Justin Wade did. He got in bed with a knife, Timmy, and said he was just going to kill himself. And his girlfriend didn't know what to do, so she called the police. And a few minutes later, the police arrived on the scene and shot and killed him.
Makes sense.
Okay. So, problem solved.
Yeah, well, he had what?
An amazing story.
Or Roger Wallace. Roger Wallace took his
what
son.
What does this
out
have to
field.
Do? Was Roger Wallace part of her?
Roger Wallace.
Did he get married to Margaret,
took
too?
Took his son out into a field, Timmy, to show him how amazing these new remote control planes were, Timmy.
Uh-oh. It's not going to end well.
And Floob came flying, dive-bombed him, and hit him in the head and killed him, Timmy.
Oh, my
Kamikaze. God. You remember that Sopranos episode where the kids are shooting arrows up in the air and catching them with their, target? Yeah. One kid gets hit in the head.
Well, you know, there was a guy one time. Don't do what, when we're talking about wine, a Texan, Michael Warner. You know how people will give themselves vodka enemas or, you know, women will actually soak in tampons in vodka. He decided to give himself a sherry enema and died of alcohol poisoning, Timmy.
You know, they give coffee enemas, but I don't know if they serve that with cream and sugar or not, Brandy.
Yeah.
With the foam. Heavy foam.
And here's another one. If you happen to decide we're going to go on.
Oh, yeah, you probably could get a Kama Maka or something these days. Yeah, yes, Colonel.
If you happen to go on a vacation to the tropics, Timmy, about 150 people a year are killed by falling coconuts.
Man, you got to watch out for that shit.
Mm-hmm. And
now,
and this I found interesting is now this is a one-off thing, but
did Marianne Cotton get hit by a coconut?
No,
did she? Otherwise, I don't give a fuck.
A guy decided he needed not a condom, but all the condoms in the condom dispenser. You know how you have those condom dispensers in
there? Yeah, he was optimistic.
Yeah, so he decided to use a small explosive to blow it up. And a piece of shrapnel from the machine embedded itself through his eye into his brain and killed him, Timmy. So if you need a condom that bad, just shoplift one. Don't try to blow up the machine.
Oh. You know, when I was in Thailand once, went to this place where they had the monkeys would go up and take the coconuts, you know, and they'd bring them down or throw them down. And these monkeys would throw them down. I mean, like they were throwing a football or something. I mean, they were, you know, it wasn't just like they were just dropping. They were like trying to hit you with the damn coconuts.
Looked like Dan Marino trying to hit you across the middle with a coconut.
Yeah. Yeah. Bastards. Those monkeys are nasty, man. They are mean.
Okay. But if they could talk.
All right.
What about Marianne?
You could find two monkeys that could talk.
Oh, I'd have them on this podcast. Wouldn't be worried about brandy time.
Oh, my God.
Now, in 1870s, 1870s, she becomes friends with this woman named Margaret Cotton. Margaret Cotton mentions that her brother, Frederick Cotton, a widower, his wife having recently died of the consumption. Frank had two small children to care for and needed help. Margaret told Marianne, and Marianne being the giver that she is, became his housekeeper.
Entrepreneurial spirit.
Within 2 weeks, Marianne and Frederick would marry. Even though Mary was still officially married to James Robinson. Remember, he's the guy that just said, I'm out of here. Yeah. But anyway, you know, they weren't good at record keeping back in the day, so.
Evidently.
She got married. So she was married twice. She was a polygamist.
Yes, she was.
Tell us what happens next, Brandy.
Well, on their wedding night, Marianne learned that her new husband had a life insurance policy on himself, his children, and his sister, Margaret.
Okay. Now he's more appealing, I'm sure.
Well, anyway. Within 2 weeks of their marriage, Margaret started to experience severe stomach pains, and she died a few days later.
Wow. That's quite a coincidence, Brandy.
Yeah. The couple got along well at first. Frederick Cotton was pleased that Mary took on the role of stepmother to his children. A year later, Marianne became pregnant and gave birth to a young boy, is what it says here. I assume at birth they are very young, so we'll just say boy.
You remember when we did that episode on Mary Tufts, the woman that gave birth to rabbits?
Yes. How do you forget that? Let's see. So she has a baby boy, but the marriage began to unravel. Marianne had run up a large debt with gamblers without her husband's knowledge.
She's probably down at a Hard Rock. He's at work.
Yeah.
Playing the slots all day.
This is what I love. She sends the kids out to sell household furniture to cover her losses.
Well, I mean, you know, that's one way of making ends meet, I guess.
I guess. When Frederick asked about the missing furniture.
Colonel, if you ever catch Mrs. Colonel, you know, carrying out the recliner,
Timmy, first of all, Chuck cannot question anything that Renee does. I'm just saying,
Colonel, if she's moving out the big screen TV.
Maybe feed your meat pie to a dog.
Yeah, well, I have Logan here. So, although, this is one of the great, I'm under a lot of stress right now, Timmy, because on April 1st.
I would thought that Andy would be helping
you.
Well,
Andy's going to have to pick it up around here because April 1st, Timmy, Logan is moving into his own apartment.
Uh-oh.
Well, Timmy.
Now you got no one to blame shit on, Colonel. Well,
then you're going to have to feed it to Rudy.
I'm going to have to feed it to Rudy. I'm going to have to cut the grass myself. I'm gonna everything that gets broken. I can't say that fucking Logan. You know what I mean? It's my life's just
that
gonna
fucking
be
Rudy.
To me.
Yes, it
that
is.
That fucking Bo.
So anyway, so Marianne throws it on the children, says they broke it. So Frederick goes and asks his daughter, and she told him that Marianne had her sell the articles. This led to a big fight in which Marianne accused Frank's daughter of lying.
Well,
2 weeks later.
She may have been. We don't know.
Right.
So, Colonel, how do you and the missus feel about being empty nesters?
Well, we still got Rudy and Bo, so.
Oh, okay. That's good.
So they're fine. This led to a big fight in which they accused him of lying. 2 weeks later, Frank's daughter was in bed with severe stomach cramps. She would die from a few days later.
Man, there's a lot of people getting stomach cramps in that.
A lot of people.
Family. Right. Really, maybe she's just not a good cook.
Well, maybe, maybe they need like gas X or something.
Maybe. While Frank was in mourning over the death of his daughter, Marianne attempted to cheer him up by saying, "I know you're sad, but at least we can collect the life insurance."
Oh, there you go.
Well, I mean, yes. Look at the bright side.
God love her. This remark.
Walking on
the
sunny
Frank,
side of the street, Colonel.
This remark made Frederick very suspicious. But he continued in the marriage. So, you know, every marriage has its ups and downs. So.
Right, right.
In the mid-1860s.
At least they got the insurance.
Right. In the mid-1860s, Marianne had a brief romance with a man named Joseph Natras. The couple courted for a brief period when Joseph left Marianne to marry another woman. Apparently, the other woman died in a carriage accident not long after their wedding.
Yeah, see, you didn't even mention carriage accidents,
Colonel.
Yeah,
there used
to be a lot. How many carriage accidents kill people today?
There's about 16 a year, Timmy. Carriage accidents.
16 a year.
Because, you know, those horses will just go right into traffic. They don't care. You know, the horses always
think
they have the right of way.
Well, so her ex-boyfriend's new wife dies in a carriage accident, and she's pretty happy that he's now available.
Okay,
A few months later, Frederick Cotton died suddenly of gastric fever. What is gastric fever? Is that just the runs or what?
I get it. It's like, what is it? Have Andy look at
Andy,
it up, Colonel. I think it's
gastric
like,
fever. Tell me what gastric. Well, gastric fever. Oh, really? No lie? Apparently, typhoid, it's the same as typhoid. It's caused by salmonella.
Okay, bacteria. There you go. All right. So,
well, I mean, obviously, you know, they're not cleaning their dishes very well.
Well, and, you know, Mary may just be sticking her hand down the crack of her ass while she gets the meal ready.
they don't have a Maytag, I guess.
Yeah. So after Frederick's death, Joseph Natras soon became Marianne's lodger. Although Natras was willing to move in with Marianne to help her make ends meet, he made clear he was no longer interested in a romantic relationship with the three-time widow. Mary agreed.
He says, we had a good time, but...
Yeah, but no.
That shit's in the past.
Well, so this is what I love. So, yeah, it's in the past, and Mary agreed... But soon he became ill with gastric fever and died just after revising his will in Marianne's favor.
Like, why would you, if you didn't want to have a romance with her, why would you put her in your will?
Yeah.
You don't want to put this woman in your will. I mean, I'm just.
Yeah. The insurance policy Marianne had taken out on her still living stepson, Charles, that still awaited collection. So Frank Cotton still has a son that's living, Charles.
That girl is poison.
Yeah. So Charles is still around, and Marianne, he still has a life insurance on him. So Marianne still got her ace in the hole, evidently. Her downfall came when a parish official, Thomas Riley, asked her to help nurse a woman who was ill with smallpox. She complained that the last surviving Cotton boy, Charles Edward, was in the way and asked Riley if he could be committed to the workhouse. What the fuck? Thomas Riley, who also served as assistant coroner, said Marianne needed to accompany him. She told Riley that the boy was sickly and added, "I won't be troubled long. He'll go like all the rest of the Cottons." Huh. Hmm. I feel like maybe she's getting a little big for her britches. Yeah. 5 days later, Marianne told Riley that the boy died. Riley went to the village police and convinced the doctor to delay writing a death certificate until the circumstances could be investigated. Marianne's first visit after Charles's death was not to the doctor, but the insurance office. There she discovered that no money would be paid until a death certificate was issued. Hmm. An inquest was held, and the jury returned a verdict of natural causes. Marianne claimed to have used arrowroot to relieve his illness and said Riley had made accusations against her because she had rejected his advances.
Did you ever use arrowroot, Colonel?
No, Timmy, I typically, and I don't use meat pie. I don't eat meat pie, Timmy.
The local newspaper latched onto the story and discovered that Marianne had moved around northern England and lost three husbands, a lover, a friend, her mother, and 11 children, all of whom died of stomach fevers. Rumor gave rise to suspicion and scientific investigation. Dr. William Byers killed, but couldn't she just be a shitty cook?
Well, yeah, I mean, she's not hygienic, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, so, rumor gave her, okay, so
she
Dr. William Byers Kilbourne.
She does the
something. Dr. William Byers Kilbourne, who had attended Charles's autopsy, had kept samples, and tests showed that they contained arsenic. He told the police, who arrested Marianne and procured the exhumation of Charles's body. She was charged with his murder, although the trial was delayed until after the birth of Mary's 13th child on January 7th, 1893.
Goddamn,
Mary Cotton named the child Margaret.
It just, doom, 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 doom.
It's just a rubber band.
It's like,
I mean,
she
it's
like
just
a, she like
back
one
into
of those
place.
Video, one of those things at the casino. You know, you just pull down on her arm and she, her eyes roll a little bit.
Shoots
and occasionally she spits out a baby down there.
You know, I just wonder if at that point they just walk out.
They
like
do,
she's just
yeah.
going down the street all of a sudden and goes into labor, pops it out,
or
keeps it moving.
Or coughs, yeah, coughs and the kid falls out.
All right. So let's see. So she named the child Margaret in honor of her friend Margaret Cotton, who she'd murdered. Oh, that's nice. The prosecutor decided to focus on the death of young Charles Cotton, who they claimed was murdered by Marianne by putting arsenic in his stew. After 90 minutes of deliberation, the jury found Marianne guilty of murder and sentenced her to hang.
Oh, that jury was like that Murdoch.
Yeah, they
jury.
Weren't playing. They stayed just
they
long to get their complimentary lunch.
They had to catch a bus.
Well, they got their complimentary lunch, and then you get it out. Everybody knows that. So on March 24th, 1873, Marianne Cotton was hung for her dastardly deeds. An autopsy revealed that Marianne Cotton died not from her neck breaking, but by strangulation caused by the rope being rigged too short, possibly deliberately.
Ooh.
Oh, that's not right. That's not cool.
Of Marianne's 13 children, only two survived her. Margaret Edith, and her son George from her marriage to James Robinson. So the last
I bet they're proud to be her offspring.
Oh, I'm sure. So the last one she kept.
Well
and one of the first ones.
Yeah, she kept it, but I mean, how long did she live? She didn't live very long after that.
No, she didn't, and that's probably, I mean, those two should be really grateful, you know, that she died and didn't have a chance to kill him. So,
you know, I would, you know, it looked like she'd be worried about accidentally poisoning herself.
Oh.
Well, she always got the takeout to me. She got DoorDash.
Yeah.
She got takeout.
Exactly.
She went the DoorDash route, huh? Great, yes, Grubhub.
Well, I would love some.
Well, yes. Brandy, what's your final thought?
Meat pie, but I, you know, I'm a vegetarian.
Exactly.
Brandy, what's your final thoughts on Mary Ann Cotton, Britain's first serial killer? I mean, we don't know that she's the first. There may have been other ones, but they just, you know, this is the first we know of. What are your final thoughts on Mary Ann Cotton?
You know, she got what she deserved.
You have no empathy at all.
I don't.
Colonel, what's your final thought on the lovely Mary Ann?
I think the part that got left out is they put her in a police lineup to me, and they had a couple people in there, and they said, yeah, that's the woman. And then the detective said, they all picked Cotton. She's a cotton-picking murderer, Timmy.
She's not, apparently not that good of a cook either.
Well, no. She's not the person you want to hire for to cater your next event, Timmy.
No.
I bet potlucks.
Well, I don't know.
She's a bitch at potlucks.
She might be sometimes that's who you want doing your Thanksgiving dinner, Timmy. Somebody who's
I am anti-potluck, Brandy. I think Chuck is too, aren't you, Chuck? Aren't you anti-potluck?
I do not eat potluck things, Timmy.
I don't either. You never know what people's kitchen is like.
No, I call it pot roulette, Timmy, because you don't know what you're going to get.
Never know what's going to take you out. How many people die each year of potluck?
368, Timmy. Well,
oh
now,
got to be careful.
Yeah, they only have the numbers
all
up
right
to 2021, so probably more than that now.
All right. I want to wish some people a happy birthday who, over the last week or so, have had a birthday. And I'm always hesitant to do this because we leave some people out, and it's not our intention. But let me wish happy birthdays to our good friend Kimberly Cameron out there in Nashville. And she went to see Cheap Trick last night.
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
Hmm.
So I'm jealous.
Yeah.
They're very
good.
Yes.
Yay.
We want to wish, we want to congratulate our good friend and fellow dweeb, Nina Instead, for winning an Ambi Award.
It's bigger than the AVNs.
A big deal, Timmy.
For
that's
the best true crime podcast. Yeah. I mean, it's a big deal. They had a big, you know, like Oscar like. It's really big. It's in Las Vegas and it was real fancy and. We're so proud of her. So congratulations, Nina. We also want to wish happy birthday to Molly Erickson.
Yes, Molly. Molly turned 40 years old, Timmy.
And it's hard to believe. She looks very young. So, Molly, happy birthday. And we hope to see you at DweebCon. Rachel Elizabeth, she had a birthday this past week, so... Happy birthday. Rachel is up there in Springfield, Illinois, home of Abraham Lincoln.
Homer Simpson.
And Homer Simpson. And we want to wish the lovely Teresa Smith out there in KC.
Yes.
Kansas City. A very happy birthday. And, of course, the very lovely, the very beautiful Michelle Johns from Chicago. Michelle, we hope you had a great birthday. And we look forward every year to seeing her at DweebCon. So that's all my shout-outs. I really want to thank Thad for editing these podcasts and doing the sound and everything. So thank you, Thad,
yes,
for your help.
That's a great help, Timmy.
Any shout-outs you guys have?
No, just the usual suspects, Timmy, but we want to thank everybody who listens, obviously, because we wouldn't be here without you.
And we really appreciate the support we get on Patreon. If you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs, all one word, where you can give a little, you can give a lot.
Or just a wee little bit to me.
All right. So that's going to wrap us up for this week. And we'll see you next time on History Dweebs.
Good day.
Bye, everyone.
Mary may just be sticking her hand down the crack of her ass.
Any vagina can walk through your door at any given time.
You know, ever since I saw Indiana Jones, I've always been afraid of that big ball.
We're not talking about the
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.